Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're doing in the earth. Thank you for preparing your people, cleansing your body with all of the methods that you use. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to continue with Faction Cannot Prevail. I think this will be very interesting. This is number 4. So, to defeat Faction, we need to know 2 things. His evil tactics and how to have authority over his power in our life. I'm going to start with the tactics. Know your enemy's tactics. This is a revelation given to Tiana Fire, 5:6:23. She said, in my dream, I was invited to participate in a competition, but it wasn't made known what you had to do. I believe the competition is a test or a trial to see who will fall away and be deceived by the factious leader or apostasy. It was located on this small island, only accessible by boat, which could only occur for a few hours during the daytime. Well, we are on an island here of sorts. The Lord has showed us the outline of it. We're bordered by fault lines and a river. And we were shown the fault lines would open up as the Craton moved west, leaving water around us. And this would cause us to be accessible by boat, as this revelation says. The waking hours and the light of the sun, S-O-N, is the test. On the island, there was a 6-story building to the right, and there was a school, restaurant, hotel, public toilet, shower, and shops, all in this building. And there was a deck that went all around this building in a circular shape. Amen. We know about this. We've had this revelation before in other places and other ways. So all that is needed to build the kingdom in man is there. 6 is the number of fallen man, which is our temptation during the trials. The outer man decays as the inner man is renewed. That's up to us. We make the choice. There was bush as soon as you got off the boat and one path that led to the area on the island where everything was located. Well, these trials or tests must be overcome in our own wilderness like it was with Moses before he could lead others through the trials of the wilderness. I walked down that path with the other people that were on the boat, and we were greeted by a man who told us that he was the manager of the island. That's what he thinks, anyway. And he was the host of the competition. And he led us to the left area. That don't sound good. Of the island where the competition would be. The manager is a type of the factious leader who leads to the left to test many people. He works for Satan, the administrator of the curse, sent to test many in what sometimes feels like an island of isolation. We're never alone when we have Christ with us, right? And Galatians 2:20 says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we're not alone. And Jesus was led of the Spirit to be tempted of Satan and overcome in order to begin his ministry. So we're in good company. There were around 10 other women already there for the competition. Well, 10 is the number of the law or testimony or commandments, and also a number that represents completeness. It could be the completeness of the body that's going through the test to see who was going to win, right? So every person in the competition was wearing a certain color. One lady was blue, one pink, one green, etc. I was yellow, representing the color of the sun, S-O-N/S-U-N. The women were all from all different parts of the world, representing different groups in the running for the bride, like Esther. Only one represents the sun, S-O-N/S-U-N, fully kind of like the Philadelphia Church of Brotherly Love. That was the one that measured up, actually. The host manager told us that we had to go along this path that led throughout the island that had bush on either side of the path. He didn't tell us how to win. Well, the factious leader is never going to tell you how to win. He wants to hide that. And that's why he tries to get rid of our sight and other things. He said that we all had to walk together until the end, and that only one of us could win, but we all had to stay together. Well, that was the rules of the game. If you broke the rules, the factious leader knows he has authority over you. There has to be a oneness, right? So the test is to stay one in Christ while the wicked faction works for Satan and seeks to disqualify us and dismember us. Only one wins the race, and that is Christ. We are one body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run that you may attain." So we know that that one is Christ and everybody in him, right? So we walked together along the path, and we encountered various trials. We found out at the end that we were all being tested to see how we would all react and respond to the trials and the situations. And when we all got to the end of the path, we were told that I had won the competition. And one of the rewards was that I would get paid an extreme amount of money to help look after a school and a hotel on the island. Yep. This is a true picture of the bride's reward. So only the one wearing yellow, representing being clothed with Christ's works, wins. And this is the chosen above many women to be the bride of Christ. Esther 2:16-17 says this, "So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, unto his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained favor and kindness in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti, who, by the way, rebelled against the king's command to come, and she did not come." Kind of like when Jesus gave the same command, and she did not come. All right. So we were all then invited into the restaurant in the building to have a free meal together. We all sat at a giant table. And I believe this represents the 7-day/year marriage feast in the 7-year tribulation, where the man-child feeds the spiritual food of life to the bride and so on. I felt like the black sheep. I felt left out, as the other women there didn't like me. That's normal. Yep. That's just as in the Song of Solomon. The Shulamite was an object of jealousy from the competition, which often causes the factious to show themselves, right? James 3:16. "For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every vile deed." The manager was also sitting at the table. And Psalm 23:5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Yes, that's how the Lord does it. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So I got up to go to the bathroom to use the toilet, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that if I went there to use the toilet, the manager would follow me in and force me and abuse me. Well, if we're determined to rid ourselves from the waste of the old life, it will make factious leader angry, and he is a molester of souls. He goes after those who follow Christ and the Word. So the factious are offended with our desire to be cleansed of defilement. Proverbs 2 and 14 says, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. So I tried to just stay in the public area where people were. What does this symbolize? Well, it symbolizes, I believe, that we cannot hide and get rid of sin. We are to be transparent in confessing our sins one to another to get rid of the waste of the old life. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there are those who especially those with rejection, who would like to hide and get rid of it, but God won't permit it. Confessing it is powerful. I went back to the table to watch everyone to make sure nothing would happen to anyone, and when I noticed a young man walking over to the bathroom, I heard the Holy Spirit say to warn the young man to not go in there, otherwise the man would follow him in and hurt him. So I ran over to the young man and told him what Jesus said, and the man believed me and went away into a public area. So the enemy will attempt to harm, deceive, or corrupt the elect, or sow a seed in them that is contrary to God's seed, right? Our duty is to be alert to the Holy Spirit to aid the whole body, always. Always remain in the sight and be listening. In the NENT, she gave 1 Peter 3 and 12, because the Lord's eyes are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication, but the Lord's face is upon those doing evil. So, when sitting at the table, the Lord told me to go around to everyone and warn them about this man. So I went throughout the building, finding individuals and groups of people, and warned them about this evil man and what he was doing. Well, in the Word, they are rebuked openly, too, and corrected openly. And this usually sets them off, because, you know, the Bible talks about the fool hates correction. Well, that sets them off. Any kind of correction sets them off. Most people believed me and knew that it was true. Some of them confessed to me that the man had hurt them before, but they couldn't do anything or tell anyone. Okay. That's the spirit of faction when it uses fear and intimidation and misplaced loyalty to cause us not to reveal a wolf in our midst. You are supposed to do this, obviously. We have no loyalty to the wicked, and we're told to mark them. Romans 16, 17, and 18 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling. Divisions being faction, right? Contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech beguile the hearts of the innocent. So there are some innocent people that got turned over to this, probably for a humbling, and probably they will come back out of it. God put a mark on Cain for his sin, right? I shared the real good news with them, and Jesus comforted them and gave them strength and boldness to speak up to their parents or the police, and to others around. So he's basically saying, be bold in Christ. He has overcome the world. Take comfort. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say at the needed time. These dreams are given to warn many. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Yes. I kept avoiding the host while I went about warning everyone I could find. I kept trying to get the woman or the women that were in the competition alone so I could tell them about this man. But it was hard to tell them privately because they were mostly hanging around the man who was the host, right? Well, faction goes through the denominational church. They are factioned against one another. It's not near as radical as this latest faction because God wants to purify a bride from among the people. Okay? The apostate leaders are deceiving and seducing many women, representing groups of Christians, captivating them with their charm and position, and they enjoy having his attention, right? At one point, the ladies in the competition were alone out on the deck, so I was able to warn them about the man and told them about the victims that have witnessed his evil. And of course, we're doing that right now. Some of the girls laughed at me and mocked me as they didn't believe me, and I said to them with sadness in my heart, to please just be aware and not to risk being alone with the man, because I care about them and don't want anything to happen to them. I pleaded with them to keep their guard up. Well, deception can be so entrenched they would defend the unjust and mock those who are speaking the truth, kind of like the prophets in the Old Testament were done, you know. Only a couple of the girls believed me, and I could see that they were a little worried, and I told them if anything happens for them to call on Jesus, and he will save them. Call and believe in the name of Jesus, and you shall be saved. Romans 10 and 13, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One of the girls in the competition with me, who had laughed and mocked me when I first tried to warn her, came over to me and was crying and distressed, and she confessed that the manager had hurt her, and she regretted not heeding the warning. I can tell you, folks, a lot of people don't heed the warning. I had sympathy for her and comforted her and spoke gently and with compassion. I shared that only Jesus can understand what she experienced and feels because he bore it all and only Jesus could heal her. She was very humbled and desperately wanting to grab onto the hope of Jesus, and I told her everything I could and I prayed with her. Well, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19 says, but all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That is to make people one with Christ, right? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation, which of course she was carrying out there very well. So, I'm going to call this hidden agenda, traffic the children. Tiana Fire, 4:29-23. I had a dream of a certain man. He had a wife and children of his own, a nice house, and he was very loved and known for good works in his community. Everyone loved him and thought he was a good man because he did good things to gain respect. He took in runaways and helped many homeless and those in need. He gave them money and resources and a place to stay and he often took in young women. Well, as we will see, this man represents factious and apostate Christianity. They try to appear to be good and caring on the outside in order to deceive many. I experienced this dream that I was one of those young women and that he would take in. So Tiana, I believe, appears to represent the bride here. He and his wife were very friendly. They also had some foster children that they would care for. After I had been staying there for a while, the man of the household told me and the other children, including their foster children, that we were now required to help him with work. So he drove us to this motel that he owned. They seem nice in appearance, but underneath are many lusts and many vile deeds. The faction in the secular world and the church are overcome by many lusts. Matthew 23:27 says, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Thus you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Very good description of them. He took us to the first room and told one of the girls that she had to go in there and wait for the man that she was to help. And then he locked her in the room and went to the next room and did the same thing with another child. And he did this with each child or teenager until it was my turn. The sick reality is that the faction and other apostates are trafficking the souls of the children of God. Praise God that they're being exposed. I knew, in fact, you should pray that, right? I knew what was going on was evil, and I would not comply. I confronted him and told him how evil this was and that it was not going to happen to me. But he insisted. He became very forceful and didn't let me leave and tried to push me into the room and quickly shut the door to lock me inside. I then spoke the word and commanded him to let me go, as I am a chosen child of God, and that he had to let me go. It was as soon as I spoke the word that a rush of wind, representing the Spirit of God, knocked him back, and I was able then to escape. I tried to help the others who were locked in the rooms, but I couldn't open the doors, and then I woke up. Well, we know the Spirit of God is coming to help those that escape the Edomites who hated and killed their chosen brothers in Israel as a type of the church. Isaiah 63:1-5 says this, "Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save." Yes, the Lord is coming as a Savior. "Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments. I have stained all my raiment, for the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." So he came to save some with vengeance upon their enemies. Now, this is very interesting. This is all about the factious leader's demon telling of his intentions. This is Claire Pinar, 523:23. "I dreamed my family lived in a beautiful new home that was laid out like my parents' old home. That's, I believe, represents living as the first church lived. It had new bathrooms and kitchen. It was early morning and the sun was shining. My maid, Jane, was there and I could see her hanging up our cleaning, whitewashing, specifically our bedding on the washing line. And I could also see that she had what I called our royal bedding that she was about to bring into the house and put on the beds while the whites were drying. And she has a note here. She said, "We build our houses according to the original gospel to rest in purity, the royal way, with the angels as ministering servants." Amen. My children were all lining up to have a nice warm bath, one at a time, and then I would bath last. We were all so thankful for our new bathroom, and we liked living in this home, in this area, with sunshine. Well, that's with the sun shining his glory upon them, right? Amen. Some people like to live in darkness. So she puts a note representing sanctification and holiness of the fruit of faith. Uh-huh. I walked to where Rion was in the living room and opened my laptop. There was an email from the factious leader. He had interpreted a dream that I sent David personally. And that's because he is a military-trained hacker and hacks into everything. He cares nothing about the laws of man or the laws of God. He invades things, which is against the law, of course, and sent it back to me, and it looked like this. So this was his interpretation, the factious leader's interpretation. I was treading the wine press. His feet were red with the grape juice. And then Claire put a note. She said, "The blood of the saints." Exactly. Exactly correct. And then his demon spoke, "Don't muzzle the ox. I'll be condemning you all to hell as I go down there. You'll all come with me." So that's his plan, to kill the saints. And both spiritually and physically do they do it. Not everyone physically dies, but they die spiritually and really have no interest in the Lord when those spirits enter into them. They are dead to the Lord. I didn't get to read the rest of the dream. I closed the laptop. Rion said, "It's probably best to ignore him." And I agreed and let David know that he was intercepting emails to David's private email. Yes, he's done that before. I went to check on my children, and they were now all clean and freshly bathed. Amen. The children of the bride are going to be greatly blessed. They'll be coming out of the kingdoms of men, most of them. I woke up, and I opened my Bible, not really expecting anything, as I was not asking the Lord anything specific, and my finger landed on 1 Corinthians 9 and 1, and as I read, I came to that portion of not muzzling the ox. 1 Corinthians 9 and 9. "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Is it for the oxen that God careth?" Well, the factious leader actually fancies himself to be righteous, and his vile deeds are no problem with his God, who is Satan. His hope is to destroy UBM and David, as he has said. And his lust was always to be a leader, and now he is one, just like Haman. So, this next one we call Final Curse Attempts of the Faction Fails. The final one fails. Claire Pernar, 5:23:23. "I dreamed I was in the foyer of a large auditorium. David Eales had a banquet table out in the front. on the right side as you entered the auditorium from the outside. Right side is good. That's where the sheep are, right? And she has a note representing the UBM website that is large and has lots of food of the word in it, and the teaching of the books and the videos and so on and so forth. Linda had a table on the left. That doesn't sound good. That's where the goats are. And Linda means a beautiful serpent. Yes, serpent spirits, by the way, the poison is in their head. And that's what they do. They mess with people's head. Mm-hmm. She kept on trying to gain a seat at the table where David and I were seated. Well, the factious leader has come back temporarily 3 times, but could never repent of his lusts, so he left again, always offended because we wouldn't give him his way. Yeah. So she said this represents the factious leader trying to infiltrate the website and the people. Yes, that's true. She came around the back of my chair and told me that she's now out of a job and she's moving on. Well, that sounds really good, doesn't it? The factious Herod, Judas, Absalom is dying at the hands of God, and their demons are moving on. But before she goes, she has one last thing to share. A table appeared behind David's table, perpendicular to his table. There, a poor-looking Italian man was performing art and decor with chocolate. He was really good at it. Well, chocolate seems sweet, but it is a dark art, like voodoo, which the factious leader practices on people's minds to capture them. One of the factions supplied pictures so that the factious leader could focus voodoo on us. But what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Yes. Thank you, Lord God. He had to pay Linda to perform his art, and then people paid him for his art. At first I was super impressed, but then I noticed how scrawny that he was, and his suit was very shabby. Well, the factious are not dressed up with the works of Christ, but the works of the old man. Because it goes on to say, he was clearly past his prime and was holding on to the glory days of being a chocolatier. He left. There it is again. So this was one last temptation that was being offered. And in parallel to the beautiful serpent, he is moving on. And so you got two witnesses there. They are moving on. Two dark couples, very tall, very overweight, walked in then. This symbolizes that they are submitted to darkness and full of flesh. They looked like homeless, drunken gangsters. They took a brother and held him up. One cursed him and said, "This old guy is too fat." The brother expanded in front of my eyes. In other words, they fulfilled the curse, right? Another one picked him up and also cursed him. "Look, he must be sick because he's so thin." See, if they can't criticize you one way, they'll do it another, and it doesn't make sense. That's why we call them the stupid demons, right? "He then shrunk in front of my eyes." So this is the manner of voodoo, to focus on the person and curse them. That's what they do. "I knew these were curses, and I could not agree with them. They kept looking at me tauntingly. And then they wanted more alcohol, and they went elsewhere to find it. Ultimately, their addictions will get the better of them or distract them from their focus, which is to taunt and tempt the bride. Well, one of their addictions is sex, that in every direction. I then saw a girl who was friends with Linda. She hopped out of a black car, and she had long, dark hair. Her name was Raquel. Raquel is from Rachel and means you. She was Jacob's favorite wife. This girl has historically always looked sad to me. However, it seemed she'd left Linda's friendship and was now running alongside a blonde girl, which we know in a lot of dreams is the bride. They were not coming inside, but she had a beautiful big smile on her face and looked truly happy for the first time since I have known her. So the righteous seed will escape the evil faction. Amen. Linda said again, "I'm out of a job. I'm going to have to try something else." So the attempt of the serpent to beguile and infiltrate failed. Amen. So now we're going to talk about defeating the factious power. And this first one, we called it separating the factious from the righteous. There has to be a separation, and that's the way you can defeat them. This was given to Belinda on 10/4/2011, and it's still very, very true. I had a vision that it was dark, and in the darkness I saw a house. The house was shining very brightly on the right side. There you go. It appeared to be glowing. I saw people gathered in a circle. They were very tall, and they seemed at peace. They were praying and singing praises to the Lord. Well, this, of course, represents the UBM house, and on a larger type, the house of God. They were on the right side because they were sheep, which Jesus put on the right. That side was shining brightly because the glory of God is there. They were tall because they were big and mature in the ways of the Lord. Then she continues, on the left side of the house, it was very dark, and smoke was coming out of the walls. The people looked like dwarves. They were angry and agitated, and they kept pacing back and forth. Well, the left is, of course, those who act as goats, which Jesus put on his left. It was very dark because they are walking in darkness. Smoke is coming out of the walls because the judgment of God is upon it. They were dwarves because they have been stunted in their growth and are small and immature in the ways of the Lord. They are angry and agitated because they are full of witchcraft, voodoo, faction, anger, slander, wrath, etc. And they're pacing back and forth because they are nervous and stirred up by these spirits. In fact, the only thing that they can do is follow Satan to pester the righteous. There was a door that separated the two sides of the house. There were no handles on either side of this door. So this is good. This is the separation that must be kept if you're going to conquer this enemy. God has made a separation between the righteous and the factious. They may not get at the truly righteous who obey God's word to separate from them, and we may not minister to them, for God has given them over to this to prove them. A handle could be provided, though, for them to come through the door if there was unforgiveness or other willful sin among the righteous. Do you understand? Close the door. Take the handle off. Okay. Don't give in to any form of unforgiveness. And there are many forms of it. Bitterness, hatred, criticism, so on and so forth. Don't give in to it because you are getting close to being taken out. The people on the left were angry because they could not figure out how to get this door open to get to the other side and pester the righteous. The goats have been bitter and angrily trying to get at the righteous with their slander. They wanted to stop those people from singing and praising the Lord. The demons hate peace and praise among the righteous. There was a crack about three quarters of the way down through the center of the house, and it looked like at any time the house would split apart. This is the spiritual earthquake that we've seen that is separating those who walk in sin from the refuge in the bride. The separation will soon be physical, and those who do not repent will leave our house and make us a purified house. The Lord said to me, as I meditated on this, that his foot is pushing down on the left side of the house. As the weight of their sin becomes greater, they will break off. Father has been showing us for several years through dreams, visions, and prophecy that an army of demons would make war with UBM and myself in an attempt to destroy our influence on the earth. But at the same time, we were shown that we would become greater in holiness, power, and ministry. She went on to say, I noticed that the right side of the house was firmly on the foundation, whereas the left side of the house had no ground under it. And I thought to myself, if that house splits all the way, the left side is going to fall, and I would say into hell. And there's nothing to catch it. Amen. So they're not founded on the rock of God's word, but on the sand of the abyss. And Jesus said concerning the fall of that house, great was the fall thereof. Matthew 7:24-27. And also, unforgiveness has taken away grace from them. I'll put a link here to that. The factious leader has his eye on carving up UBM for himself from the cover of darkness. God also had his own plan to separate those who could give in to these lusts, and so he has. So we pray constantly for our brethren that they would come to repentance, and we know that some will and will come out from among them, and we thank God for that. Okay, I'm going to call this the unforgiving or unforgiven. Those who do not have forgiveness or grace for others will not have it themselves and will live under the curse and demonic oppression or possession, for they are the wicked. And Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He's very offended at those who do not forgive when he forgave them, right? 18:32. Then his Lord called him unto him and said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy upon thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, verse 34. And these are demons, till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. I want to talk a little bit about the Judas spirit. Judas was among the disciples of Jesus, whom later was called the son of perdition or destruction by Jesus. The other disciples did not know who he was until he fell away. And of course he fell away to crucify Jesus, or the body of Christ, if you will, because everything, we have to take up our cross and follow him. We are his body in the earth today, and history is repeated on a larger scale, right? So Jesus knew who he was and that he had a job to do in crucifying his flesh. He said, "Didn't I choose you 12? And one of you is a devil." At the Last Supper, he even told him to hurry up and get it over with, in not so many words. Judas was full of rejection and retaliation in his heart, and when Jesus corrected him, he became angry, just like our factious leader, which is normal for those with spirits of rejection and faction. And when he ate the sop, the Lord told me when I read that one day, he said, "Son of perdition." Yes. Now we know in the natural it's not that, but that's what he wanted me to remember it as, and I have. So Satan entered into him. In darkness, Judas was led to enlist the Jezebel religious system to follow him. That's not hard to do. And to do his dirty work for him. They in turn tried to turn the public away from Jesus so they could kill him and so that his truths would not be known. It is a clear fact that history repeats with larger and larger groups of people. There is among the disciples today Judases who, when convicted of their errors, will retaliate to crucify Christ among us. And Judas hung himself with his own hands. And he was cut off from the breath or the Spirit of God. And this is perfectly prophesied in Scripture to happen on a world scale in our day. Let me say that slanderers and railers are lost. God says in his word that slanderers and revilers, or railers, some versions say, will not be saved without repentance. But in these days, many will not return from this path, just as when Jesus came the first time. And the word slanderer in Greek is diablos, meaning accuser or devil. That's right. Slander is a devil. In fact, the Spanish translation of devil is diablos. And according to Vine's Expository Dictionary, these are those who are given to finding fault with the demeanor or conduct of others, and spreading their innuendos and criticisms in the church. That was all a quote. Okay. In a similar way, the word reviler or railer in Greek is often blasphemio, meaning to blaspheme, or to speak against God or the brethren, or both. So those who blaspheme are obviously of the same nature and controlled by the devil and not God. Whenever you see a person or group of people abusing some person like this, remember that these are demons speaking. Demons slander and rail against the righteous, so you can suspect that their victim is righteous. The only exception to this rule is when God turns their venom on one another in judgment so that they reap what they sow. You cannot associate with such people without a little leaven leavening the whole lump. So we're commanded in 1 Corinthians 5 to separate from them. Those that don't, they could be losing their eternal life. I know people that have been in this way since 2011, and they haven't become any better. They've become worse, more corrupt, less able to hear or listen to any word from God. So Paul, by God, turned blasphemers who have fallen away from the faith and defile their conscience over to Satan. 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having thrust from them, made shipwreck concerning the faith. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. And of course, God still does this in our day. We shouldn't do it. We should let God do it. We can do it under his orders, like Paul did, obviously, twice that we know of in Scripture. There was one that had his father's wife that he turned over this way, too. This is not a stretch for the faction. They don't abide by any normal moral rules. So revilers or railers are placed with the worst of men and rejected by all good men. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men," which is common among the faction, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers," there's railers, same word, "nor extortioners," and they are extortioners, they will steal money from you, use their position with you to steal from you, "shall inherit the kingdom of God." And they give the craziest reasons for stealing from you, but it doesn't matter. They're still stealing. Okay? And faction here is the purpose of slander and railing. It means to separate followers for selfish ambition. And we're commanded to separate from such after just two instances because it will leaven you so quickly and so badly. Titus 3:10. A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse. You better obey that one. We have found out what happens to those that don't. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Well, that's pretty good identification right there. Idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft, right? Enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And parties here is a very similar. It means a self-willed opinion leading into dividing into sects or denominations. Self-willed opinion is they read your mind and they say, "Oh, you're this and you're that, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Where's the proof?" "No, we don't need that." They never need any proof to accuse anybody. They never obey the rules Jesus laid down of going and talking to the brother first. They go to step three, which is to bring it before the church because they want faction. Yeah. So, slander and faction are always associated with lying spirits and other forms of deceit. Psalm 50:19, "Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. They will be greatly disappointed and shamed. Shame is often connected with them in the scripture. None of these enter the kingdom of God without repentance. Revelation 21 and 8. But for the fearful, the unbelieving, they are unbelieving of the scriptures. It goes in one ear and out the other. In fact, I don't even think it's that close to their brain. It just goes over their head, you know. And abominable. And murderers. Yes, they are murderers. And fornicators. Yes, of all kinds. Sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And they conveniently don't believe anything that I just said. So, I'm going to leave you some recommended listening and also a couple of articles here. Don't Sell Your Birthright, which Edom did, of course, and some others, another revelations. Well, Father, I pray for all my brethren out there that they, if they feel any attacks against their mind of faction or criticism or anything against their brothers, unforgiveness of any form, that they will get prayer. They will repent of it and get prayer quickly before their mind is taken over by this faction, because it is a judgment of reprobation on many. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for enabling us to warn the brethren, as we were clearly told in the revelations here today, about this man and about the people that follow him. So we thank you, Father, for your goodness to us in preserving us through all these trials and accepting our crucifixion and so on and so forth. Amen. Well, all right. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you and keep you. All right. God bless.